Hello, friends and family in Christ. So what happened during the Biden administration? They covered up his cognitive decline. Now he's got cancer and they don't want to talk about it. But what about this auto pen? Who was running the country? Who is calling the shots? Jake Tapper's out there making money now off of this book, supposedly saying, yeah, we missed it. No, they did it on purpose. The media was complicit. We're going to talk about this and more with John Haller next.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
One of our favorite Ohioans is back with us, friends. First, thanks for your prayers and thanks for sharing the podcast. John Haller, Fellowship Bible Chapel. Welcome, brother. Good to see you again.
Good to see you as well, David.
Yeah, so you just did a prophecy roundtable with many troublemakers for the kingdom of God that have been
That's recently right.
On Worldview Matters. Britt Gillette, Tom Hughes, Scott Townsend, Patrick Wood, and Pete Garcia. And that was on technocracy, transhumanism, AI, Mark of the Beast, and other things. So people can see that over at your YouTube channel, Fellowship Bible Chapel. And that was on May 14th. Wait a minute.
It was recorded live on May 14th,
okay.
A week ago.
Okay.
So we have another one scheduled on June 25th.
Okay.
It's one of these ones where we, you know, it's interesting. We schedule these, you know, like you and I, like, well, what are we going to talk about? And then it's like, well, how do we not talk about a lot of stuff that's going on in the world that's related to Bible prophecy?
And yeah.
AI and technocracy is definitely one of the ones. It was interesting the day after we did that conference on War Room, Steve Bannon said, oh, you know, the late, great Patrick Wood, it'd be great to have him around. So I wrote to Patrick and I said, was that you or was that an AI Patrick in our roundtable? So he was on Bannon a couple of days later. You should go look that up. There's a clip on the Bannon War Room website on the Rumble channel. Patrick has been way out ahead on this issue of everybody. I've known him for probably close to 20 years now. And, you know, it's been technocracy ever since I met him.
Yeah. I've known him for about 10 to 12 years. Let's talk about your recent trip and a couple observations that you came away with about the vast space in the United States. Go ahead.
Well, you know, it's interesting. So I was telling you beforehand, we did 8,000. It was our 50th anniversary. So Pam wanted to take a trip to see family and friends, and some we know we're probably not going to see again because of their age or medical conditions. So we did 8,300 miles in 28 days, all the way down through the Smokies to New Orleans, all the way to California, up to Washington, Oregon, Washington, and back. And the one thing we remarked a number of times, like on the Oregon coast, in Wyoming, in South Dakota, in Washington, is this is a very, very big world, and we're very, very small. And there's not a lot of people in a large portion of the United States. I mean, you could easily fit all of the world's population in Wyoming or South Dakota alone.
Right.
And I noted to Pam out there, I said, you know, there's a lot more fence posts and telephone poles than people out here by a very wide margin, like many, many times more. But it's such a big, beautiful country, and it's amazing. I'm always amazed at God's creation in that you see things like the Oregon coast. You forget the politics of Oregon, for one thing. But there, it's such a diverse landscape, mountains, oceans, coast, you know, fields of wheat that go for miles and miles and miles, open ranches. And all of this is just, to us, it's very beautiful and it fills the eye. And so I think that God is very good that he gave us this great big world to live in.
Well,
and
John,
it's not overpopulated. That's obviously a political agenda. You can't drive across any of those states and say that this is an overpopulated world.
Okay, well, let me ask you then. So they would, the left, meaning the population control enthusiasts and the environmental wackos, I mean activists, they would have to admit, concede, that there is plenty of space in a lot of states, middle America, for massive populations to use, to move to live in, or whatever. How do they respond to that? What do they still push their agenda? It's not going to change their minds. What do they say? They say, okay, I'll give you that. There's a lot of space, but we still need less people on the planet, or there's still, go ahead. How do they respond?
Well, part of the agenda is they want fewer people. I mean, I think that's pretty clear. And if you watch what's happened in Europe, they say, well, we're running out of resources. We don't have electricity and that type of thing. So, David, I'm telling you, in California, especially, like up in the northern part of California where nobody lives, there's nobody. You get north of Sacramento and in the Bay Area a little bit, there's nobody up there. I mean, the huge trees, the redwoods and everything. But then we also noticed that there were these solar farms up through California, and these solar farms covered hundreds and hundreds of acres. But now we see these solar farms, but we also saw one that was being decommissioned, and it was just a bunch of junk for hundreds of acres in the desert. And it's affecting the temperature in those areas because of the way they reflect and retain heat from the sun.
Oh my goodness.
And so it's this agenda. And so what they're doing is they're moving everything to these renewables. Right now in our country, 30 to 40% of all electricity generation that's being constructed or fixed are renewables, solar and wind, but they don't run all the time.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, I live in Ohio. If you have solar here, good luck getting it to run during the winter when you really need it. And so we've seen these blackouts like in Spain and Portugal and the UK recently because they don't have the continuous baseload power that they need. And it's part of an agenda. And I don't know what they're doing. I mean, we used to joke at in my class that I taught at another church, they would go camping. And I'm like, I'm not going camping. And they go, why? I said, the whole struggle of civilization has been to rise above living like you're camping. And I don't want to go back to that. I like the color TV. I like the fact that the remote control and the color TV might need new batteries. That to me, that's roughing it.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a beautiful country. It's a great country. There are a lot of great people out there. I spoke at a few churches on the way, but it's huge. America is huge, but we have people that are designing the systems not to work because they want to get, I'm more and more convinced they want to get rid of us.
Well, on purpose. Yeah. Well, the globalism, right? America stands in the way of globalism. So does conservatives, Christians, the Trump administration. That's why this is such a threat. This meaning President Trump being back in office. And if we didn't need more proof, I mean, I did a podcast a couple of weeks ago with, I don't remember who the guest was now, but we did it. We broke down the media and we used this media research center survey on the fact that out of almost 900 stories on ABC, CBS, NBC, and then there was, of course, the Communist News Network, CNN, 92% was negative. 92% of the stories were negative on President Trump when they covered Trump, the administration, anyone in the administration, Musk, Hegseth, going down, Bondi. So 92% negative coverage. They've been attacking him. We've talked, John Haller, about lawfare on this podcast. We had that going out there, attacking him all the while. And here's now back to the subject for today. Biden's cognitive decline and his health. There's speculation he may have had cancer before the big announcement recently that he has cancer. So who was running the country? How did they get away with this? And what else did the media and the left lie to the American people about? Where do you want to start, John?
Well, you know, this has been a longstanding problem in America because when people get up in those higher echelons of power, it's a very small group. that are running things and making decisions. We had this problem historically with physical problems of Woodrow Wilson back in the time of World War One. You know, it was clear that his wife was running a lot of things. And then we also had the situation with Franklin Roosevelt in the 30s and 40s, who really became increasingly isolated and physically incapable of performing. And so what happened here in this organization, so I want to go back, it's kind of a funny segment, on it was Barack Obama being interviewed. I don't know if it was with Stephen Colbert or somebody. And he said, you know, I can't run for a third term, but if I could work out a thing where I had an earpiece and I could sit on my couch in my family room and kind of tell somebody what to do and what to say, I'd do that. And we all laughed. But then a lot of us were thinking like, well, maybe that's not so true. So I started very early on in the term of Joe Biden, calling it the O'Biden administration, because I think it was clear that Obama was involved. And I was on a Fox panel during the J.D. Vance run for the Senate here in Ohio in 2022. And Martha McCallum came to me and I referred to the O'Biden administration, and she knew what I was doing. I mean, her eyebrows shot up into her forehead really quickly as I said that. But it was true. I mean, it was clear that somebody else was running the show, that Biden was not competent to do this. And when it's interesting.
The
92% against Trump would be 92% in favor of denying, probably 98% denying that Biden had a problem.
Yeah. Now, when you say... Let's go back a little bit, because Obama, from my understanding, was one of the first presidents that did not move away from the Washington, D.C. He got a place in the area.
He wasn't one of the first. He was the first.
He was the first. So we knew that he would have some influence and some involvement. And I think they did a great job of keeping him kind of behind the scenes. But his power and influence, there's no way that he didn't have some sort of a say in legislation or the Democrats' agenda. So go ahead, John.
Well, can I just say it's probably worse than that? Because, and I've contended this for a long time, and I know there's been some research done on this. I think hopefully the people in the Trump administration are unpacking this. But if you remember all the big financial settlements that took place following the 2008 financial collapse, there were, a lot of things with mortgage-backed securities and that type of thing. And there were a lot of multi-billions of dollars of financial settlements. It's pretty clear to those of us who've looked into it that where did all that money go? Where they paid this billions in settlements, but did it end up in the coffers of the United States Treasury? And I believe it was funneled through money laundering into left-wing NGOs, these Soros, sort of the Soros-type backed organizations that really ran the country. And if you remember, when Obama was leaving office, they set up this organization, a big website and everything. And I can't remember what it was, but it was like, we're going to get 1 million volunteers to come and be political activists and that type of thing. And it was publicized for a while, and then it kind of disappeared from everybody's view. But I really think that that's how Obama controlled a lot of stuff.
So we're going to talk about the auto pen in just a little bit. A lot of people don't understand that, other presidents have used that, but this could have been abused big time with a president with failing health and with cognitive decline, and he wasn't even in the picture. He was at home a lot or on vacation. So we want to know. I think Americans want to know who ran the country, who had the power of that pen. We also want to know, do you think, this is speculation, when we come back from our break, John, do you think the Republicans will push for the truth to try to get this out and exposed? I don't think so. Maybe other than Rand Paul and others. And then the other thing we'll talk about is there's an article at Newsbusters on Jake Tapper talking about hypocrisy. He's conceding. He says, the conservative media, they were all over the Biden decline. So that means the leftist media, the liberals, the progressives, the Marxists, the Democrats covered it up. So we're going to come right back with John Haller on Worldview Matters.
Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream.
Get free activation now with promo code David. Right now, Freedom Project Academy is enrolling students for this fall with live, anytime, and homeschool courses for pre-kindergarten through the 12th grade. To celebrate 15 years of academic excellence, we're offering a 15% discount on all courses. You can go to freedomforschool.com. That's freedom, F-O-R, school.com. Use the code David15. To save 15%. That's David15 to save 15% on all courses at Freedom Project Academy. John Hallett, let's start with this. You heard the tease before we took a little break there and all the things I set up that we want to discuss and solve all the problems in 10 minutes. The cancer diagnosis, and some on the left saying, well, they shouldn't criticize or go after Biden now. What about his wife? What about Jill Biden? And is he off limits now? Should we back away from this story?
Well, no, I don't think we should back away from the story. I mean, Biden's probably, I agree probably with the special prosecutor, his name was Hur, H-U-R, who interviewed Biden about the Biden documents, yeah. Top secret documents that he took while he was vice president, not even president. And probably didn't have a right to do it. And that was just said, well, he's a man in mental decline and we can't really go prosecute him because he's not going to be able to stand trial. Well, wait a minute. This guy is the head of the United States government and running everything. And why do we let this go? So I think the bigger focus of any investigation should be on the people who covered it up, mm-hmm. because clearly there was fraud. And there were a lot of people, there were a lot of holdovers from the first two Biden administrations to what I call the third, not the first two Obama administrations, yes. over to what I call, could rightfully be called the third Obama administration or the O'Biden administration. For example, there was Susan Rice and those type of people held over, were very involved in, as special advisors in the White House. I think they were involved. There was a lady named Anita Dunn who was involved. And there's some indications that she may have been using the auto pen to sign pardons for money. Now, I don't know if it was money paid to Democratic campaign coffers or what type of thing. I'm just telling you is on these presidential pardon things, in a lot of cases, there's money that and influence that exchanges hands. And I know from having been involved in one case with this, that, you know, the lawyers in D.C. that have power and influence and they've worked hard to get that, they'll be right up front. You're going to pay us $250,000 and there's no guarantee. And Jeez. And then I don't know what goes on from there, because that kind of whittles out a lot of the people who can't afford that kind of money. So that happens. But there's rumors, at least there's talk, that Anita Dunn was causing these the auto pen to be used to issue pardons or other executive orders. So I think that needs to be looked into. I think the Supreme Court's going to give a lot of deference to the pardons issue, but I don't know. I mean, if you don't pursue it, that it's not going to happen. Yeah. There are a lot of people that are holdovers. Another one who needs to be investigated heavily is Samantha Power. She's a radical leftist. She's married to a Harvard Law professor, Cass Sunstein, and always involved in big, you know, upper echelons of the Democratic Party power apparatus. But she was the ambassador to the UN in the last part of the second Obama administration. She was the ambassador at the UN that did not veto the anti-Israel resolution 2334 in December of when Obama was a lame duck. After the 2020 election in December, the UN passes, and we for the first time did not veto that at the UN Security Council level. But then she went from that position to this next administration. She became the head of USAID. Ugh. And we've heard a lot about USAID and the way it was just a money laundering operation. And I'm just telling you, watch the congressional hearings. To watch one the other day on green grants for green energy projects, billions of dollars. And the Democratic senator or congressman who was questioning the Trump administration individual, he did not want to talk about the facts. He wanted to talk about, well, what's been your schedule since you started working for the Trump administration? He said, I work every day. I work long hours. I'm here to talk about what we're doing. And you don't seem to want to do that. And you're going to see huge meltdowns on the left in the United States and the political, as long as the Republicans and the Justice Department and the security apparatus keeps the pressure on the Democrats. But the hypocrisy on the left on this issue has been just absolutely stunning. You know, Jake Tapper, Joe Scarborough, oh, Biden's great. He's the best Biden we've ever seen, blah, blah, blah. There was a town hall that the Democratic Party filmed before the debate, before Biden did such a lousy job in that debate, I think in July, when they said, okay, you can't run for president anymore. They filmed a town hall and they wanted to cut it up into commercials. They couldn't use a second of the footage because it was so bad.
Well, let's talk about that. And they didn't, this wasn't open to the public. They selected people, supporters, to come in there and do a mock town hall, correct? And then they filmed it, and he did such a poor job, it didn't help the campaign. They could not use it. Is that more accurate?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so I think that what we need to look at that. Somebody needs to be subpoenaing records. Grand juries need to be impaneled, and they have subpoena power. They can bring people in to testify, make them lawyer up, make them spend some money on lawyers to defend themselves. I mean, and listen, I've been subpoenaed to a grand jury. It's not a very comfortable position, because if you don't tell the truth in the grand jury or an FBI interview, they can prosecute you for lying. That's what happened to, remember, Martha Stewart. She was the biggest example of that. Yeah. So they need to put the Democrats through these paces. They need to prosecute them, investigate them. And if not going to do that, I will be very disappointed in the Trump administration.
Well, John, there are so many fronts of corruption and fraud and where they could pursue these, but do enough Republicans have the will to follow through here? And do we have the manpower on the right, or conservatives, Republicans, that can do this?
Well, you know, take some of the money that you're saving from the cuts from DOGE and use it to hire people to do these investigations. There's a lot of competent attorneys out there. Yeah. It's been difficult, though, because people who defended Trump and claims about the election in 2020 and elsewhere, you know, they've been attacked, they've been disbarred, they've been indicted. Well, look, everybody says, okay, well, now we need to stop this. We need to stop this cycle of everybody of the lawfare. No, we need to pursue the law so that people will not ever do this again. And so that's only going to happen if people are prosecuted and made to go through the criminal justice system. And I think there are clear crimes that have been committed here. There's fraud. There may be bribery and all sorts of things involved. We don't know. So people should be subpoenaing records. And by the way, if I had been in charge in the Trump White House the first day, and I don't know if Trump did this, I would have issued an order that all electronic records and documents from the Obama and Biden administrations need to be preserved and not destroyed, even one of them. And what that does in the law, David, it will create a rebuttable presumption. If you destroy evidence after having been told not to, the presumption is that you did it because it's contrary, it's against your interest.
Wow.
And that's a well-standing legal doctrine. And I think the Republicans need to invoke that. So I don't know if that order was issued. If it wasn't, it should have been the first executive order issued by Trump when he came into office, because we know from the examples of Hillary Clinton and others that, you know, emails and documents just happen to turn up missing.
Yep.
And you know that I mean, I know from having done a lot of electronic discovery in my years as a lawyer, electronic records are forever. They're very, very difficult to destroy. A good forensic person can recreate hard drives that have been overwritten 8 times and pull out the data that's there, including the emails and everything and all the metadata that goes along. So I just go after these people and make them squirm. You know, remember the scene in the Untouchables movie where Al Capone kind of adjusts his collar because Elliot Ness and the prosecutor's getting a little too close for comfort. We need to, I think we need to make that happen, and we need to do it not for revenge, but because it's right and because we want the people to learn that they can't do this again.
Yeah, I hope something gets followed through on. But, John, I don't have a lot of faith in getting enough people involved with all that's going on now. But let's talk about briefly Jake Tapper, who's got a book out. He's making money off of this. But he acknowledged, he even went on CBS and other places where he's doing interviews, and he's acknowledging, he says, there were people reporting on what they saw. The conservative media was, to their credit, all over this. They didn't have insider information. They were just making sense of the video clips of Biden. So that's one article. And if you go to another article at Newsbusters, NewsGuard is still giving the leftist media high marks. NewsGuard is kind of like a website traffic cop, because they helped perpetuate this cover up. The media did, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, Politico, Bloomberg, but they're still covering for the media that covered up the Biden decline scandal. It's frustrating.
And you can find a mashup of the comments about Biden that were made by Jake Tapper, by Joe Scarborough, and now what they're saying. I mean, even Scarborough's come out and said, well, maybe we got it wrong on this. And but nobody's going to be held accountable for this. And I just was reading an article, I think, on Newsbusters 2 about Oliver Darcy at CNN, and says, oh, yeah, you know, the right wing was right about all of this stuff, and now they're demanding vindication, but they don't deserve it. Well, why don't they deserve it? They don't deserve it because we don't want anything to happen to our narrative, our ability to control the narrative. So it's about time that something's done to control, to attack this narrative machine that they've had for years that's gone unchallenged.
Yep, I agree. And friends, again, don't believe the liberal media. Do some of your own research. Make sure you're following the right outlets. John Haller, thank you, sir. God bless you, friends, and as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.